Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Wow, that was like an amazing intro. I wish I could have just taped that and just re-watch it whenever I'm like, you know, you have those days. Yeah. But I just want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Jason for allowing me to be here, and thank you, Deb, for partnering with us together. We're just doing great things in kids ministry together, so I just really appreciate that. And I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. I really, really do. So you could be anywhere else on a Saturday morning. You could be sleeping in still. You could be. But you chose to invest your time here on a Saturday to equipping yourself and to investing in the next generation. I think that is so important. I remember there was this time where I took the kids from my mum's. She was babysitting. Who likes babysitters? Yeah. Well, I love babysitters, just so you know. Now you know, I like babysitters. And I had some shopping in the car, and my wife hadn't come home yet. And so I got all the shopping all in one go, because I'm a man and you have to take one trip, because if I took more than one trip, it would be less of a man. So I got all the shopping and I got telling the kids, come inside. And as I get to the front door, we've got floorboards, and I thought I heard footsteps inside the house. So I said to the kids, put the groceries down. I said, kids, let's just go in the car for a second. We'll play a game. Pop them in the car, lock the door. And then I went into the house and started looking and making sure that it was safe, making sure that it was okay for my kids. And so I believe that is the Father's heart. That God's house would be a safe place. God's house would be a place where children can be free to be children and grow along the journey. And I thank you for being here, being people that carry the Father's heart, being people that want to invest, want to create a safe place, want to create a place where children belong, and equipping yourself in the process. So that is awesome. So I so appreciate that. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm married to one wife, and I've got two beautiful children. They've got it. Two beautiful children, and I've got one dog and one on the way. How does that work on the way? One on the way, because I got a 15-week-old border collie, and she is beautiful, and so we need to have a friend. So we're picking that up next week. It's beautiful. So I'll show some photos in church tomorrow. Yeah, it's so good. So a little bit about myself. So as Deb mentioned, I've been kids pastor full-time for the last 6 years. And the story goes that 6 months before that, I was coming out of our second service, feeling tired. It's amazing how your capacity grows, because I wasn't in kids' church then. And I came out of the second service. Normally we do three services on a Sunday now. And came out and I saw Pastor Sean, who was the previous kids pastor. Now he was coming out of kids' church. And that day I was talking a lot more than usual, so I'd left a bit later. And there was him, Pastor Sean, the kids pastor, walking across the car park, because our kids' building is in a separate location. It's across a bit of a car park. And he's holding two garbage bags, just taking him towards the bin. And I remember distinctly looking at him from across the car park. He didn't see me. And you know those moments where you just stop and just thank God? I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you for this man. Thank you for his service. And then I said something that later I kicked myself for saying. I don't know, Lord, who could do what he does, because I certainly couldn't. And 6 months later, my senior pastor asked me to be the kids pastor. And so the way that went down, Pastor Shane, who's my senior pastor, said, come in the car, let's go for a cruise, as he does. You know, that sounds like Pastor Shane. So he said, come, let's go for a cruise. So I jump in the car, not even 5 minutes has gone past, and he said, Luke, what do you want to do with your life? And at that point, I was concreting full time. And I said, well, I just want to serve God. That's all I want to do. I just want to serve God. He goes, how would you feel about being the kids pastor? Now, that threw a bit of a spanner in the works. Because all my life, I wanted to serve God since I was saved when I was 18. And being a kids pastor, serving in kids ministry was not my preference. It wasn't something that I was leaning towards. See, I did 3.5 years of Bible college, and I never studied kids ministry once. I purposely didn't pick those subjects because I was certain that I would not be serving in this area. Yeah, and so in that moment, I had to make a decision, and I just thought about my convictions. I thought about my call when I said, God, I want to serve you. When I said, God, I want to serve you, I didn't say, I want to serve you in this area. I want to serve you like this. Because you saved me, because you died on the cross, now I'm going to have my niche and I'm going to flourish in my niche. I said, God, I just want to serve. And so if the opportunity came to be the kids pastor, and that's what's come my way, God knows it was coming my way, then that's what I'll do. I'll serve. I'll carry the same heart the way I served in every other area of ministry. I'll just take that into kids ministry. Even though I felt totally ill-equipped, even though I didn't know kids ministry from anything else, I had no idea. I'd never been in a kids ministry. I grew up a Roman Catholic boy. Yeah? So I had, not only had I not seen a kids ministry, I'd never been in a kids ministry, I never studied kids ministry, I felt totally ill-equipped. But what I noticed in that moment is there's a very big difference to being called and feeling called. There's a huge difference. A lot of people look at what they're feeling. I don't feel called to this, so I won't do it. I don't feel called to that, so I won't do it. You know, your feelings and your callings are completely separate. Completely separate. And I'll prove it to you. You ready? You're going to like this one. Who uses an alarm clock to get up? Maybe it's your phone. I do. To get up in the morning, I use an alarm clock. Most of the time, this is the way it works, the alarm is calling you to wake up. But your feelings are telling you to stay in bed. Yeah? Amen? Now, if I followed my feelings, I probably wouldn't have taken the opportunity. But that didn't change my calling. I had a choice to say yes. I had a choice to put up my hand and be faithful. And let me tell you, what I've learned is if you answer the call, then God will qualify you. Right. He will give you the paths that you are lacking. He will equip you along the way. And as he equips you, you will leave a legacy that will carry on to the generations. Can we just quickly pray right now? Is that okay? Yeah. Lord God, I just want to thank you for every individual right here, right now. Lord God, I pray that you would bless them and that something tailor-made for them would be deposited this morning, Lord God. Something that would affect the generations, something that would leave a legacy, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Awesome. So, what is a legacy? So a legacy, it's not a resume or a list of accomplishments. A lot of times we think of legacy as something that we leave when we're gone. Yeah? And a legacy is the imprint you leave on the future generation. It's something, in this context, it's something of God that we want to deposit. It's something that we want to pass on. So all the times that we experience God moving in our world, in our life, through us, his faithfulness, his love, all that sort of stuff, we're not meant to hold it to ourselves. We're meant to pass that on to the next generation. Psalm 78 verse 4 says it like this. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. You know, God has chosen you. Every individual here is here for a reason, here for a purpose. And God has chosen you to carry the baton. To carry the baton. Now that baton, normally when we hear of carrying the baton, it's passing the baton of leadership or passing the baton of one person now done and the next person runs. But we don't have to look at legacy like that because the first person may still be running and you can carry what they've got and keep running as well. You can run together and still be leaving a legacy. It doesn't have to come at a transitional moment where one is finished and the other one begins. The legacy can be left together as you journey along, yeah? You know, it says in John chapter 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. I love this, lasting fruit. Yeah. Lasting fruit. When I think of legacy, I think of lasting fruit. I love fruit. Fruit's fantastic. I've started to learn over the last little bit of time that there's a lot of sugar in fruit. Yeah, so I got to take it easy because my idea of being healthy was to eat, you know, I'm feeling sick, let's have 10 oranges. Yeah, and then I worked out there's a lot of sugar in 10 oranges. But who likes watermelon? Yeah, watermelon is fantastic, especially on a hot day and you're thirsty and you could just devour half a watermelon on your own. Yeah, well, I can definitely. It's fantastic. And what about seedless watermelon? The best. It is the best. Exactly. How convenient is seedless watermelon? It's convenient, it tastes good, it's awesome, but there's something wrong with seedless watermelon. The thing is, as was mentioned, the problem with seedless watermelon is that it has nothing within it to reproduce. You see, the seed is what carries the DNA to produce more fruit. Yeah? And I believe that the legacy that God wants to leave and put on the inside of you is something like that. It's like that seed that we need to carry. It may be inconvenient at times, but if we take out the convenience, if we leave that out, that sort of seed of sacrifice, then we won't be able to produce more fruit. We won't be able to have a fruit that's lasting. So I believe that when Jesus was talking about lasting fruit, he wasn't talking about the banana or the apple, that just that one piece that just never goes off. I don't think he was talking about that. I think he was talking about that one piece of fruit that has the seed inside it to produce more fruit. They'll carry on and carry on and carry on. And so I believe that the legacy that you carry within you is something that you deposit with you everywhere you go. Every interaction you make, every person that you come in contact with, right then you're leaving a legacy, an imprint of yourself. Something of the on the inside of you is shifting onto them. Yeah? And we need to be very mindful of what type of legacy we're leaving. Because we'll either leave a legacy of by default or by design. Yeah? And we want to be people that aren't just walking through life aimlessly. We want to be people that are on purpose, living on design, yeah? Knowing what we're building towards. You know, it's like the image that I get is, you know, when you're driving along the side of the road and the council's put up a new tree and there's that stick, that garden stick, just to make sure that it's growing straight. And if you don't have that stick, that tree could grow any which way. But because it has that stick, it keeps it straight. I believe when we know what we're building towards, we'll stay straight. We'll stay on the path. We'll go where we're meant to be going and growing in areas that we need to grow, yeah? Because we're choosing to carry what is right. We're choosing to carry things and adopt things that will actually help us along the journey. And so sometimes we need to come to a place where we make a decision. And some of you might think, I've already made this decision. But sometimes we need to revisit this question. The question is, what type of seed are you going to carry within you? Is it going to be a godly seed? Is it going to be something of God, or is it going to be something of convenience? Because it's very easy to have a viewpoint or a facade of religiosity or Christianity, but not have the power or the seed that can leave a legacy. And I believe that all of us are called to have that seed on the inside of us. All of us are called to pass the baton and leave a deposit, yeah? And he's looking for people. He's looking for individuals. God is looking for willing vessels. And I know deep down, there's been times, and I say it again, you know, here I am, God, use me. Yeah? Have we all prayed that? Here I am, God, use me. I think it's an amazing prayer. Here I am, God, use me. The only problem is, along the way, people go, I feel so used. I feel so used in church. But remember the prayer. Remember that time when you were in the presence of God, when you said, here I am, God, use me. You asked for this. You put up your hand and said, God, I will serve you. Whatever the cost, whatever the seed, I will carry it all. Whether it's convenient or it's not, I want to produce lasting fruit. I want my life to make a difference. I want to make sure that what you've given me will last. And I believe that God is looking for individuals that will be willing to be those sorts of people, yeah? He wants to partner with some people. When God chooses to do something great, he always chooses a vessel to partner with. Very rarely in the Bible will you see that God has done something separate to people. He's always partnered with people. We know that God used David to kill Goliath, yeah? We know that God used Moses to part the Red Sea. He chose Mary as a vessel to carry Jesus, yeah, who would leave an incredible legacy. You know, he has chosen you to carry his goodness as well. We are no different from them. They are people, we are people, yeah? They're willing, you're willing. What could possibly happen? Anything. And that's the exciting thing. Anything could possibly happen if we choose to be a willing vessel like that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So I think we've got a picture that we can pop up. Okay. I didn't have one in my backyard. I actually did have one, and I broke it like a month ago. I'm like, oh, that would have been good. I should have just brought that along. But we've got a treasure. We've got this treasure. The treasure is Jesus. The treasure is his spirit. The kingdom of God is within us, yeah? But he's placed this amazing treasure in this jar of clay, being us, with all our weaknesses and all our frailties, all our issues. I've got issues. I got cracks. Some might say I'm a crackpot. Bad joke. But that comes with being a dad. You've got to say those things. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. So the thing is, we have this treasure in jars of clay. But sometimes when we hear that God wants to use you and he wants you to leave a legacy, we don't focus on the treasure. We focus on the cracks. We start looking at our own life and looking at our weaknesses, looking at our mistakes, looking where we miss the mark, looking where our mind goes a bit strange sometimes, and we think, this doesn't add up. It's not whole. How could God, in all his brilliance, work with something so flawed and so cracked? But God didn't ask us to focus on the cracks. He asks us to focus on the treasure. He wants us to focus on the treasure. Because the truth of the matter is, whether you feel like it or you don't, God has put greatness on the inside of you. Your feelings towards that are irrelevant. It doesn't change the facts. The facts are, you have treasure inside of you. And God doesn't want you to convince yourself otherwise based on circumstances and frailties, yeah? He put the treasure in you before you had those cracks. He already knew those cracks were going to be there, but he put it in you anyway. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't make any mistakes. He's up to something. I believe he's up to something. You know, King David, he was a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. A great man of God, but boy, did he have some issues. He had some issues. You know, when it came to morality and women, he had issues, yeah? When it came to being a good father, he had issues. He had so much junk going on in his life that he could not raise his children correctly. You know, he couldn't discipline them the way that he needed to discipline them. And he had all this sort of mess going on, and he may have been broken, but he still managed somehow to attract the favor of God. And God still called him a man after God's own heart. What I love about that is, if God can use him, then God can use us. Yeah? Sometimes we look at David as only the David that killed Goliath, but we don't see the David with the cracks. Because the David with the cracks is the same David who killed Goliath. And the David with the cracks and the David that killed the Goliath is the same one that attracted the promises and presence of God. Yeah? I believe because he had a heart that was open. He was a willing vessel. And what I love about that, it means that God can do something with us. Yeah? I know it's hard because we know our cracks more than anyone. Yeah? I'm the worst person. If you said to me, can you tell me 100 of your strengths and maybe 100 of your strengths and 5 of your weaknesses, it would be much easier for you to for me to tell you 100 of my weaknesses rather than 5 of my strengths. Yeah? Because we know our weaknesses and somehow they try and overpower the strength. It makes sense naturally speaking, but we don't operate in a natural way. We operate in a supernatural way. We're called to live by faith and not by the crackpot, which is sight. Yeah? So if God can use us, if he can use me, he can definitely use you. If you can speak out of a donkey, anything is possible. Isn't that right? And so I believe that God wants us to leave a specific legacy. And it starts with our heart. But the type of legacy I believe he wants us to leave is a legacy of power. A legacy that would be impacting, yeah? But it means that we're going to have to put some things in place in our life first. So I just want to share with you a scripture in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. You okay?
Yes.
Okay, it says, the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him to have no more wine. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had been filled, he said, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servant followed the instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed him. What's this got to do with kids' ministry? I'm not saying that if you're in kids' ministry, you have a tendency to attach yourself to some wine. I'm not saying that. I just want to point something out here. There was nothing special about the water. There was nothing special about the jars. It doesn't say that Jesus laid his hands on the water or the jars and prayed for them to perform this miracle. Yet an amazing miracle took place. In fact, it was the first miracle, documented miracle, that Jesus chose to reveal himself in this way. So at what point was the water turned into wine? Have a think about it. At what point was the water turned into wine? It happened while they were serving. The water was turned into wine whilst they were serving. During the process of serving, the miracle was taking place. What is interesting is the miracle was taking place in the process of their serving, and they had no idea. But they were being used as an instrument to perform one of the first miracle that Jesus chose to reveal his glory, to show his glory. It was through the servants. He didn't choose to isolate himself and lift his hands and say, "Oh, everyone see this. You've never seen this trick before." He didn't do that. He didn't try and bring glory straight to himself. He chose to partner with the servants. And as the servants were performing their duties, the miracle was taking place. And I just wonder, what sort of miracles are taking place as we serve every Sunday? Every Sunday as we believe and pray, as we set up, as we smile at a young person, I just wonder what sort of miracle could be taking place. What sort of miracle could take place as we do what seems to be mundane, what seems to be ordinary, what seems to be just average? What sort of miracle could be taking place that would leave a legacy? I believe if we want to leave a legacy of power to the kids we minister to on a Sunday, we need to recognize that God wants to do a miracle through that process of serving. Now, it doesn't sound glamorous. It sounds perhaps ordinary. But isn't it amazing how God specifically chooses the ordinary to do the miraculous? Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. When you show up on a Sunday, what could happen? Let me tell you, anything could happen. Anything could happen. Why? Because you're serving. And because you're serving, God could use that serving to produce a miracle. And a lot of times the miracles start in seed form. We look to get the miracle fully developed. Yeah? But you're sowing it in at a seed level. The seed works underground before it reaches its head above the surface. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean the miracle's not taking place. Just because the servants couldn't see that the water was turned into wine or whatever it was, doesn't mean it didn't happen and doesn't mean the results of that weren't there. Sometimes we need to just remind ourselves that this walk, this serving, this life, it's by faith. It's by faith. It's not by what we see, but we hold on to it and we say thank you as if we have seen it. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that aren't seen. So when you approach your serving on a Sunday, hope for something. Hope for something. Because if you don't hope for something, then your faith has nothing to do. You've got to hope. Hope needs to combine with faith to produce something. But if you're not hoping, if you come in and think this is just another Sunday, if you come in and say this is just another rostered appointment, if you come in with that attitude, then nothing will happen. Hope for something. Have a faith goal and say to God, you know what, whether I see it or I don't see it, I believe you're going to do something amazing, yeah? I was speaking to my team just through a WhatsApp because obviously I'm not going to be there tomorrow. So I left them a little video on WhatsApp and I just said to them, hey guys, I want you to serve as if you're not going to get another opportunity to speak to these kids. I want you to minister as if it's your last possible chance to leave a deposit because you never know what could happen. Because if you come into this opportunity as if it's average, the results are going to be average. But if you come in with your faith and expectation on fire, anything is possible. And that's the God we believe in. We believe in the God of anything. Anything is possible. And that's one of the reasons I love Jesus. So as we position our hearts correctly, a miracle can take place. And so there's just a couple of things I just want to bring to you just before I finish up. And that is, when it comes to the servants, they were open to be used by Jesus when it didn't make sense. Because water jugs don't fix wine issues. They were out of wine, not water. Mary said, we're out of wine. Jesus is like, all right, go get some water. What are you talking about, dude? That doesn't make sense. How is that going to work? But even Mary knew that when Jesus says something, don't deviate, just do it. Because she said, do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. And so they didn't doubt the process. They were obedient. They didn't deviate. They did exactly what Jesus said. And that is key to being the conduit for the miracle, to being the conduit for leaving a legacy. Because if God is asking you to do something, God's ways are perfect, any deviation from that is wrong. Because you can't add to perfection. A lot of times God speaks to us, and we say, that's good, God, but let me add my 2 cents. That's good, God, but I've got a better idea. We're messing things up. We're polluting the water when we do that. And it's not going to come out the same way that God intended it. So one thing that we need to make sure of when we want to leave a legacy, that is exactly what God is calling us to do, is that we be obedient no matter how crazy it is, no matter how strange it is, no matter how awkward it is, no matter how much it's telling us to go outside our comfort zone, no matter how much it messes with our feelings, we do it. Because God's word, he will never direct you to do something that's not healthy. He's never going to direct you to do something that's not going to promote growth. He's never going to direct you to do something that ultimately is going to pull you back. He wants to propel you forward. So just like Nike said, just do it. Yeah? Is that okay? Or am I being a bit too straight here?
Not at all?
Not at all. Awesome. Okay. The second thing that I saw that the servants did or were is that they positioned their hearts being available. They were available to be used. So they didn't have something better to do. Yeah? They were not checking their calendar and seeing if, you know, they've got something booked in. They weren't looking for a convenient time to be used by God. But they did. They were used by God because they were available. They could have said, oh, actually, Mary or Jesus, I'm kind of busy. I'm in the middle of a conversation here. A little bit later, yeah? So let me finish this conversation. You know, when God asks you to do something, just say yes. If you want to write something down, write this down. Champions say yes. Champions say yes. It doesn't have to make sense like we spoke about, but if you say yes to God every time, you'll be surprised with where he leads you. It might not be the thing that you were wanting, but the thing will lead to the thing. I don't know if that makes sense. I'll give you an example. I said yes to be a kids pastor. I'm not living in tomorrow, I'm faithful with today, but I believe that one day, I'm not going to be a kids pastor when I'm 99 years old. I know that for a fact. Yes. But I know that if I just say yes, and say yes, God will do what he has to do in me, so he can take me to the place where perhaps my heart wants to be. Because he knows more than I know. Yeah? And so if I say yes to any opportunity, any time to step up or any time to commit more, then it may not be about what you're asked to do. It's probably more about what he wants to do in you, in your heart, in your mind, in your character. Maybe he just wants to see how you go with a bit more pressure. Maybe he wants to heat things up a little bit to show you where your motive is and where your heart lies and where your allegiance is. Maybe he just wants to heat things up because you know what? When things are heated, you sort of know what's inside you. People are like tea bags, yeah? You know what's inside of them when you put them in hot water? That's what it's like, yeah? And so God wants to sometimes put us in hot water to reveal what's on the inside of us, because if we weren't in that hot place or that place of pressure, we wouldn't be, the issues or the sharp edges wouldn't be highlighted that we couldn't iron out. And perhaps those very edges, those very corners, those very snags are the things that are holding you back, and you would never have the opportunity to sort of iron or level those things out unless you said yes. And so saying yes is the mark of a great servant that clears the way. Do you know how John the Baptist was there to prepare the way for Jesus? Saying yes, being available, being open, these are things that prepare the way for Jesus to do a work and leave a legacy. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." I love this verse. It means that God's eyes are looking. He's watching every heart, every individual, every act of service. And he wants to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I don't think, there are times I think that he wants to take us from strength to strength, but also he wants to strengthen us in our times of weariness. So when you're committing to God, when you're putting up your hand to say, yes, God, use me, when your hand's to the plow, you will get tired sometimes. It's part of it. But in those times, you discover where your strength comes from. Is it from God? Or are you doing it on your own? And what I love is God purposely calls you out on the water. He purposely calls you out of your strength, naturally speaking, so that you'll rely on him. Because let me tell you, what you do in your own strength is limited, but what you do partnered with him is limitless. And so God wants you to partner with him, so he will call you out and just know that God is watching every act of service. Yeah? Let that be an encouragement to you. Yeah? You perform for the audience of one, Jesus. Don't work for people. Pastor Jason is an amazing man. But don't do it just for him. Don't do it for him to do him a favor. Don't do it to do your leaders a favor. For starters, you're doing yourself a favor. And you're doing God. You're blessing God. You're not doing him a favor. It's gratitude. It's an act of gratitude. Service is an act of gratitude back to him. Yeah? Because he's already given so much. So the least I can do with the life that you've paid for is give it back to you. Yeah? And so that's what we do. The third thing is that I saw is that they were faithful in their obedience to God. So if the servants didn't follow Jesus, there would be no miracle. It's pretty plain, pretty simple, but it doesn't have to be complicated to be important to God. Faithfulness is so, so important to God. You know the parable of the talents in Matthew 25? It says that he gave one person five talents, and that person that had five talents made 10. He gave another two, and the person he gave two made 4. And the person he gave one hit it in the ground. And the master wasn't happy with that. Because he didn't multiply what was given to him. And so I believe that God still wants you to multiply what he's given you. You don't have to compare what he's given you to what he's given someone else. You stay in your lane, you run your race, but God wants you to multiply still. He wants you to create whatever he's given you. He wants to ask the question, what are you doing with what I've given you? Are you bringing increase? Or are you just putting it in an area where it's just on cruise control? Let me tell you, cruise control doesn't cut it. Cruise control is beneath your purpose. Cruise control will rob you of your destiny in God, and it will rob you of leaving a legacy. God hasn't called us to cruise, he's called us to increase. He's called us to multiply. And God wants you to know that whatever you've got, whether you think it's significant or not, you can do something great with it. So when he called Moses, Moses wasn't feeling too capable. He didn't think he had much to offer. But something that God said was, what have you got in your hand? And he said, I've got a staff. It was his everyday tool. It was something that he had every day. It was ordinary, it was familiar. But he used that ordinary and familiar tool to be one of his instruments to go forth and bring about a legacy. And so look at your own life and look at what perhaps your thinking is familiar and ordinary, and know that perhaps God wants to use that as an instrument to do something amazing. But what that will take is fresh eyes, fresh vision. You need to look at life like fresh again completely. And if you can't do that, that's okay. Get someone else that will be able to look into your world. Go to your leaders and say, hey, what do you see in me? Where am I lacking? What could I tweak? What do you think that I'm what am I doing well? And what do I need to maybe work at multiplying? Because God's called us to multiply. And so when we approach every serving opportunity, being open, available, and faithful, we're creating the framework for God to do the impossible. And so the greatest legacy that we could ever leave is an encounter with God. It's the power of God that changes everything. In church, we can give so much information, but unless people actually encounter Jesus, it's not going to change their world. We deposit seeds believing that God's going to bring growth, but what people also need is the knowledge and the encounter. And so let's be people that through our faithful service, week in and week out, can produce an atmosphere, produce an environment. And I don't just say the environment, I say the environment where God can do something powerful. And when we do that, we will leave a legacy.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.